This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Steve Inskeep, sitting in today for Neil Conan. It's a little hard to get your mind around the scale of the crisis in Africa. More than 29 million Africans have the virus that causes AIDS. The number is close to the population of the entire state of California. This week, President Bush surprised a lot of people when he announced a plan for fighting AIDS during his State of the Union speech. The Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief calls for $15 billion to treat and prevent the spread of AIDS in Africa and the Caribbean. And this initiative must first be approved by Congress. Today, we're going to talk about what exactly is in this plan and whether it's the right plan. We'll hear from people who work on AIDS in Africa, and we will talk to a congressman who will be involved in drafting the legislation. And we want to hear from you. Do you want your tax money to go to AIDS in Africa? Do you want more of your tax money to go to AIDS in Africa? Were you glad about this initiative? Do you think it's enough? Our number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. You can also email us at TOTN@NPR.org. Now, one man involved in developing this plan, the president's plan, was Dr. Anthony Fauci. He is director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institutes of Health, and he joins us by phone from Capitol Hill. Dr. Fauci, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
$15 billion over a decade. Some of this already earmarked, of course, but a lot of it is new money. Can you give me an idea of how this ended up in the president's State of the Union address?
Well, first of all, it's $15 billion over 5 years.
Okay.
So it's going to be an average of about $3 billion a year. Well, the president himself has been extremely interested for some time now in doing whatever we possibly can do to help the situation with HIV/AIDS in developing countries, particularly sub-Saharan Africa and the Caribbean. He initiated last year the Prevention of Mother-to-Child Transmission Program, but knew that he wanted to do more. So he essentially tasked his staff, myself and others, to put together a program that would be what we would call feasible and accountable, whereby we would be able to have a major impact in helping individuals in these developing countries.
This is such a massive problem. I guess trying to do anything that seems to have a major impact must be the first problem you face.
Well, it's a problem, but and it requires a considerable amount of resource, and that's the reason why a lot of people's eyebrows went up, because they were not aware that it indeed costs a considerable amount of money. Now, WHO and UNAIDS over the last year or so have been calling for this amount, and when people heard that, they said, my goodness, that is really a significant amount. But it's necessary, and it needs to be done. The president took the leadership role, realized that, and decided to get an implementation plan that he was comfortable with that would work. It's $10 billion of new funding, including of which $1 billion will be for the global fund, but the rest will be bilateral arrangements or arrangements through the government programs that already exist. And we believe it's going to have a significant impact. The way we scaled it out, it will hopefully and likely prevent 7 million new infections, will provide antiretroviral drugs for 2 million HIV-infected individuals, and would provide care for 10 million HIV-infected individuals. It's modeled after a network model that has been successful in Uganda, whereby you go from a central medical center to primary, secondary, and tertiary satellites. The model has been working very well in Uganda, and it can be adapted to individual countries that don't have high-tech infrastructure, and that's the whole purpose of it, not to parachute in something that's Western-type programs into countries that might not adapt to that very well, but to use what's appropriate for the country involved.
Because the biggest challenge here, I guess, is just getting drugs to people who have
exactly.
HIV. Now, you're talking about treating people who already have HIV or AIDS. How much will you be spending on prevention, and in what sort of programs?
Well, the breakdown, the way we have it, is approximately 50%, a little bit more than 50% will be on the antiretroviral treatment program. About one-third will be on prevention activities, and about 15% will be on care.
You're going to encourage people to use condoms?
It will be the prevention program is actually quite a comprehensive program, and it's based on the WHO-accepted prevention programs, which include everything from education, public service-type approaches, including condoms. So it's treatment of sexually transmitted diseases, education, abstinence programs, treatment of sexually transmitted diseases and others. And it does include condoms, actually.
And you say WHO, the World Health Organization,
right,
and UN organization is,
right,
putting out standards. You say you'll follow them.
Right. There are 12 components of a prevention program that have been advocated by the World Health Organization, and we will be plugging into those.
There's been a lot of questions about generic drugs in Africa, as I know you know very well, because they can be much less expensive, which is a big deal in a poor African country. Will this proposal pay for generic drugs?
Yes. As a matter of fact, yes, and that's something that is often misunderstood, that the United States government will not act at all against countries that use generic drugs or even break patents, provided it is for the purpose of treating in emergency circumstances diseases that are of epidemic proportions, HIV, malaria, tuberculosis, or what have you. Certainly the HIV catastrophe falls within that group that the United States government will not do anything to intervene to prevent the use of generic drugs under those circumstances. So we fully expect that, as in the Uganda situation, they are using drugs that are a combination of three drugs as low as between $300 and $400.
800-989-8255 is the number that you can call to join our discussion here. We're talking to Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is someone who helped President Bush devise the AIDS plan that he proposed the other day. Dr. Fauci, one other question before we continue the discussion here and bring in some other voices. $15 billion sounds like a lot of money, but when we're talking about 29 million infected people and many, many billions of dollars that would be needed for drugs, I'm sort of wondering how you decided on that figure exactly.
Well, the figure is the figure that has been called for by the World Health Organization, UNAIDS, and a variety of activist groups, Jeffrey Sachs and others, who have spent a lot of time figuring out what the costs of such a program would be. And they felt that there would have to be a program that would be that the United States should pay about a third of a program, that there should be anywhere up to $50 billion. The United States is having a program that's $15 billion, which is as much, if not more, than what's been asked for. So it isn't something like a number that was just pulled out with no calculations. This is calculations of serious people who have been looking at this problem for some time and felt that since the United States should take leadership, that such leadership would be manifested by a program of this magnitude. So it fits right within the framework of what people have been calling for, if not a little bit more.
Dr. Fauci, can you stay with us for a couple
of
minutes?
Sure, certainly.
Okay, I want to bring in another person here. You mentioned activist groups and what they're calling for. Joining us here in the studio is Dr. Paul Zeitz. He's executive director of the Global AIDS Alliance, which might be said to qualify as one of those activist groups. Welcome.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Just very briefly, is $15 billion really about what you were hoping for from the U.S. government?
Well, the World Health Organization, as Dr. Fauci said, estimates that we need $10.5 billion a year to provide a comprehensive package of AIDS prevention, care, and treatment, as well as care for the orphans that are being left behind by the 23 million Africans that have already died. So we were calling for the U.S. government to pay its fair share based on our proportion of global wealth, which is about 35%. So we're calling for about $3.5 billion a year starting this year from the United States government. Now, Dr. Fauci noted that the president's calling for about $3 billion per year. We're eagerly waiting to see the president's budget request next week, and we hope to see that he's actually going to start the program with $3 or $3.5 billion starting in this year's budget.
So you would like more, but it's a lot of money, and the question is whether it really shows up.
We're waiting to see whether it's really new money, whether the president is really going to not cut other programs to pay for this initiative. That's a big question. And number two is, what is he going to put in his budget request next week? If he comes in next week with $1 billion or $1.5 billion, we really call into question his commitment to scaling up this program.
Dr. Fauci, asking Congress for the money is one thing. Making
right.
it a serious priority, I guess, can be quite another.
Well, the fact that the president put this in his State of the Union address, it's clearly his highest priority, and those of us around him know that. Let me just answer some of the questions that were just asked. Indeed, there will be $10 billion of new money. There's no question about that. The United States is already doing about $1 billion worth of international work And then obviously there will be new money. As the president said in the speech, the first year of the program in fiscal year 04, there will be $2 billion, which means that when you get to the total of $15 billion, there will be years subsequent to 04 that will have more than $3 billion in it, so that at the end of 5 years, the totality of that will be $15 billion. But make no mistake about it, $10 billion of it will be new money.
Gentlemen, we got an email from Eric Stone in Portland, Oregon. I'd like to put this question to you both. He writes, how much of the calling for this funding of AIDS relief in Africa came from pharmaceutical companies and their lobbyists? His point seeming to be that pharmaceutical companies might be the ones that end up getting paid for all these drugs. Can I ask you both what exactly the interest of the pharmaceutical industry is here? Have they been against this sort of assistance or in favor of it or what?
Well, I don't think either of us could answer specifically what the pharmaceutical industry or individual companies would be interested in, but certainly this is not something that would necessarily be a big profit margin for them, because as was mentioned, that many of these drugs will be at a price that will be extremely reduced. For example, the Ugandan program that is already existing, that is run by Dr. Peter Mugenyi, who was up there and visible during the president's address, his program is using drugs that range between $300 and $400 per year per person for a triple drug combination. So I don't see this, at least in my own opinion, but I can obviously speak for the pharmaceutical industry, that this is going to be a big boon for the pharmaceutical industry.
Paul Sykes?
Well, yeah, the pharmaceutical industry to date has taken aggressive action to block countries' access to life-saving, generically manufactured drugs. They lobby the U.S. government, and the U.S. government then lobbies through the World Trade Organization to have stringent restrictions against parallel importing and so forth for generically manufactured drugs. The key question here with the president's initiative is the Global Fund, which is a new mechanism that could be used to, that has already agreed to procure generically manufactured drugs. If Dr. Fauci's statement is the way this plan rolls out, which is that $9 billion of the new money will be spent by the U.S. government bilateral agencies, the Congress requires Buy America clauses and could require that these drugs are procured from U.S. manufacturers. Now, we don't know the details of what's being proposed, and we hope that that's not the direction that the U.S. government takes.
Dr. Sykes, I want to ask, push this in another direction if I can. There's so many different layers to this discussion. We're talking about government funding. We're talking about lobbying. In the end, though, you're talking about sick people, millions of them on a continent. I want to ask in the minute or so before the break here, if you can give me an idea of how bad it is in Africa right now. It's a place where you've spent a lot of years of your life working.
Well, a lot of people asked me if I was surprised by the president's initiative, and I said, actually, no, I was surprised it took us all so long to wake up. 23 million Africans have already died. I was living in Zambia and attended funerals of many colleagues and friends, and would be shocked at the horror of the number of funerals per day and the loss of life that was being that was affecting every family in every community. Orphans exploding. My family actually adopted a Zambian child, and we've been able to learn about how to the struggle that is in place at the family level.
I want to ask more about that. We just have a minute left. Dr. Fauci, before we go, I'm interested if this proposal really represents a serious change of heart or change in thinking of the Bush administration.
No, actually, it isn't a change of heart, because the president had been intensively interested in that. And this is an initiative that he asked us to try and get an implementation plan. And that initiative came from him. This is what he wanted. So he wanted it all along. Now we have the actuality of it as a high priority, very public and very visible in the State of the Union address. But he had felt this way all along. The first step towards it was the mother-to-child transmission prevention study, but
okay.
He knew and expressed that he wanted to go beyond that.
Okay.
So I don't think this is an abrupt change at all in his philosophy.
Okay, Dr. Fauci, thanks very much for taking the time. I really appreciate it this afternoon.
Good to be here.
We'll continue talking about President Bush's new plan for AIDS relief, and we'll be taking your calls at 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email, TOTN@NPR.org. This is NPR News. It's Talk of the Nation. I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington. We're talking about President Bush's pledge during his State of the Union address to increase funding for AIDS programs in Africa and the Caribbean. If you have lived or worked in those parts of the world. Call us with your experiences. Our number is 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. With us here in Studio 3A is Dr. Paul Zeitz, Executive Director of the Global AIDS Alliance, who spent a number of years working in Africa himself. And Dr. Zeitz, I'd like to get back to this question of exactly when we say 29 million people in Africa, I'm trying to just quantify that in some way. I'm trying to understand what it means in an individual country or an individual city.
Well, for example, the city of Lusaka has about 1 million people. About 1 out of 3 people are infected with HIV right now. So what I used to do is walk around the street and go, just imagine in my mind that 1 out of 3 people that I would see as I was walking or driving around was infected with a fatal disease, a deadly, hopeless disease. And that these people are parents. These are the economically productive people within the society. And that they're just like you and me.
And I gather that this is not just a medical problem now. It becomes an economic problem. You read stories about crops rotting in the fields because there aren't enough healthy people to harvest them or to plant them in the first place.
Well, the epidemic has been left unchecked for so many years. Already 23 million Africans have died. We expect that there'll be about 3 million Africans that will die this year. And that's why we're calling for the president to have a fast ramp up of the funding now, not to wait until the out years for his new initiative. Dr. Fauci said $1 billion this year, maybe, instead of the $3 billion that we're expecting from the president. We don't understand why he would want to delay. The crisis is now.
And we want to take some calls in a moment. 800-989-8255 is the number that you can call to join this discussion, 800-989-TALK. But first, Dr. Zeitz, I want to ask one other thing, and this maybe is a critical question for somebody driving their car, listening to the radio in Illinois or California. Understanding that it's an immense human tragedy, one of the most immense human tragedies of our time, why does AIDS in Africa affect or threaten Americans? Why should Americans be paying to treat this?
Well, I think that the president's statement was a watershed moment in redefining America's role in the world. We are not just about waging war globally. We're about waging peace and justice. And AIDS is a manifestation of economic injustice, racial injustice, and gender injustice. And the United States government, with President Bush's leadership, is now embarking upon a global effort to stop those injustices. And every American has a role and a responsibility in that cause. Just like 40 years ago in the 60s when people were involved in the civil rights movement, now you look back and say, oh, I wish you want to know what it was like to be part of that. That's what we're beginning to see happen now. People in 20 or 30 years are going to say, what was it like to be part of that global cause to stop the worst epidemic in human history? And we encourage everyone in Illinois to call their member of Congress and to get involved in this. President Bush started the process, but every American has a role to play here.
Well, now, you mentioned the civil rights era. In 1964, Lyndon Johnson mentioned civil rights in a major speech before Congress, and he actually said, "We shall overcome." He quoted that spiritual that had become kind of an anthem of the civil rights movement. I'm wondering if this week for President Bush qualified as a "We shall overcome" moment on this issue, if you think this president is that serious about the issue now.
I think he is serious, and I'm not skeptical. I believe when President Bush sets his mind to something, he can deliver. We've seen him do that, and we want to do everything we can to ensure his success in this endeavor, and we hope all Americans will join behind him and ensure that he's successful. And every American has a role to play in calling their member of Congress. It matters. I've been a witness to the impact of people in Illinois, in Arizona, in key districts, in all districts, to call their member of Congress and say, we support this. As you already said, we have to get this money out of Congress. And we have to get $3.5 billion this year out of Congress. Not in 2006, when another 3 million or 6 million Africans will have died. We need these programs on the ground now.
800-989-8255 is the number that you can call to join our discussion here. Tony called that number from Lander, Wyoming, and he's been holding patiently. Tony, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hey, thank you very much. I want to say first that I'm impressed with your guest, especially Dr. Zeitz, with the time he spent fighting this problem. My question and statement is this. If the epidemic is so severe, and we heard, I think this morning in Botswana, 40% of the population, as Dr. Zeit said in the town of Lusaka, one out of three people have HIV. I think the money obviously needs to be spent mostly on prevention and education. When we talk about spending medications for the antiretroviral drugs, I see a problem, because if somebody in Lusaka who has HIV, obviously that population, because of cultural beliefs or whatever reason, doesn't understand the disease. If somebody has HIV and does not receive medications, let's say their life expectancy is 1 or 2 years, and they don't have the opportunity to infect or transmit the virus to others.
Tony, you're suggesting that the money should be spent more on prevention than on treating people already?
If you give somebody that does not understand how AIDS is transmitted retroviral drugs, and instead of living 1 year or 2 years, they live 10 years or 20 years, to me, that is just giving them an opportunity to, instead of transmitting that disease to 1 or 2 people, instead to 10 or 20 or hundreds of people.
Dr. Zeitz, maybe there's a brutal, if you could hold on just a second, Tony, maybe there's a brutal calculus that has to be made here as to where you're going to spend your money most effectively.
Well, thanks, Tony, for your question. In fact, there are surveys that have shown that 95 or more percent of Zambians actually do understand HIV virus and how it's spread. And the question is, how do we best support their efforts to protect themselves from infection and to deal with the crisis? And the international community, there is a global consensus now amongst experts and Africans themselves that we need to do a balanced approach of prevention, care and support, treatment with life-saving drugs, and also dealing and supporting the orphans that have already been left behind.
I guess if you're in a city where a third of the people have HIV or AIDS and thousands have died, people eventually do understand exactly what the disease is.
Oh, yeah,
about.
People know what's going on. And also, I want to say that treatment in itself is also a form of prevention. When people are on life-saving antiretroviral drugs, their viral load goes actually down close to zero, and they actually stop transmitting. The only way to deal with this crisis is to do prevention and treatment and deal with support for the orphans.
Tony, thanks very much for your call. Appreciate it. 800-989-8255 is the number that you can call to join our discussion here. And joining us now in the studio is Sophia Mukasa Monaco. She's the Global AIDS Policy Officer at the Global Health Council. And for 6 years, she headed up the AIDS support organization known as TASO in Uganda. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you for inviting us.
What was your reaction to President Bush's announcement?
It was encouraging and very surprised. I didn't expect it, I have to say that.
How bad is it in Uganda? If you can just give us a couple of the basics. I know this is one of the hardest hit countries in the world.
One way to describe it is every time we give AIDS education in Uganda, we tell people that if you look on your right, everybody on your right is HIV infected. That's how bad it is. That the probability of your neighbor being infected is higher than not being infected. And at the same time, we do realize that infection doesn't pick particular people. It's random. And I always refer to it as during the days in Washington when we were living with snipers. You know they're out there, and you don't know how to avoid it, and yet you have to go on with your life. So it's more or less the same thing.
Can you give me an idea of how you have been active in AIDS in Uganda, what your job has been?
I worked as the chief executive officer of one of the largest non-government organizations looking after people living with HIV, TASO, the AIDS support organization.
Yeah.
And I worked for TASO for 6 years.
And its strategy was what?
TASO has two strategies. The direct strategy is caring for people living with HIV, where we provide medical care, counseling, and material support, like nutrition support and educational support for the orphans. And indirectly, we train communities to handle their own HIV and AIDS issues, as well as build the capacity of institutions to integrate HIV and AIDS.
And I just want to mention a couple of facts that I was reading the other day about Uganda. You tell me if I have this wrong. Uganda is one country that where the government and public health authorities have made a concerted effort to battle AIDS, in contrast with some other African nations. The infection rates in Uganda have actually gone down. But one reason that they've gone down is that so very many, many people have already died of the disease. That's about how it is?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Okay.
I think one big thing we have to realize is you can prevent HIV and AIDS if you go about it in the right way. So you don't have to wait for people to die in order to decrease prevalence of HIV in a country. And Uganda has taken a comprehensive approach to preventing HIV using all the prevention strategies that were recommended by WHO, and that is abstaining from sex, especially at a certain age, and being faithful to your partner. In fact, Ugandans call it zero grazing, and condom use.
800-989-8255, the number you can call to join our discussion. Miles is holding in Bloomfield, New York. Miles, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that the cynical part of me doesn't believe for an instant that the Bush administration is not doing this because he's in desperate need of an infusion of positive public opinion. That said...
Well, who cares why he's doing it? He's doing it.
Exactly. I don't care why he's doing it. I don't care the motivation. It needs to be done, and I'm glad that they're doing it. I'm a registered nurse. I see people with AIDS all the time, and in our city, it's an average-sized city, you know, and it gives me an idea of how many people are infected here, and the epidemic here is an epidemic that's by no means on the magnitude that it is in Africa, and I don't care the motivation or the politicalness of this as long as they get the help. Because they need it now.
Miles, in Bloomfield, New York, is it fair to say that most people who need antiretroviral drugs, HIV drugs, can get them? As long as they have the money, I guess.
I think in the United States, there's a whole lot more chance of them getting the drugs that they need than there is in Africa. The drug companies keep the prices so high that oftentimes they're cost prohibitive to a nation who is strapped for cash. And that's the long and the short of it.
Miles, thanks for your call. I want to move along here briefly and pick up on something that we were just discussing there. Very different situation in Africa. Thanks for your call. Very different situation in Africa, of course, and that's one of the things that we were hearing from Dr. Anthony Fauci, the effort to get affordable drugs to millions of people in Africa. We have an email here from Sumit Bular. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. She says, Sumit says, I am from Kenya. And this is the question that Sumit asks. Should this money be used to set up factories? This money, meaning the Bush administration's $15 billion. Should it be used to set up factories to produce the generic drugs in these countries, and the country can therefore produce as much as they need? Goes on to say this is done in India and Brazil. Dr. Zeitz, what do you think?
There is the possibility that there could be an African manufacturing capacity for generic antiretroviral drugs. There's discussion underway in a few countries about that possibility. With the increase in funding support for global AIDS, with the U.S. investment, and hopefully the Europeans and Japanese will step up to the plate as well, and will be spending about $10 billion a year, as we all know we need, then the global marketplace for generic drugs will change. And there could be new manufacturers, new ones in India, China, and also in Africa. There's a company in Ghana that's looking into this. There's a South African company and a Kenyan company that I've heard about that could develop that capacity.
And I want to mention that you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Sophia Mukasa-Monaco is in the studio with us here. You are from Uganda. I'm interested, as you look at the possibility that the United States might be spending billions of dollars over the next several years in Africa, a good chunk of that might go to Uganda. What concerns do you have about the idea of American funding, foreign funding, coming to your country? I suppose that money could be spent in the right way, and I suppose it could also be spent in the wrong way from your perspective.
Well, Americans have always been in Uganda. They have always been in the lead in responding to HIV and AIDS. I'll just give you an example. The first donor to support TASO was USAID. So that shows how they have already been there. That was in 1987, when the epidemic was still very young. So money coming in, as it's going to come in, will be building on something that has already been there before. Because I don't see, apart from antiretrovirals, all the other activities that the American government is planning to do are already taking place in Uganda, and they're being supported by the U.S. government.
It's just a question of increasing them now.
Exactly. It's just an expansion question.
Can I ask you about other countries? Are there some suspicions about exactly what the United States motives are or the way that this money is spent, different requirements that might be attached to it, Paul Zeitz?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of questions right now about the administration's intentions. Dr. Fauci talked about a network model that's been used in Uganda. That sounds great, but I've never seen one thing work everywhere in Africa. And I really believe strongly that we need to give the people in these countries the right to determine how this money should be programmed. And there's a lot of concern about the fact that this is being, 9 out of the $10 billion of new money is being programmed directly by the U.S. government. We believe strongly that a multilateral approach through the Global Fund to fight AIDS, TB, and malaria has already proven its ability to buy drugs at best world prices, number one. This week they're announcing their second round of grants, and with that, nearly 500,000 people will be newly given antiretroviral drugs. We already have a mechanism that's working. Why should we create a new parallel U.S. structure?
800-989-8255, the number to call. Tracy called us from Blacksburg, Virginia. And Tracy, welcome to Talk of the Nation. I guess we're not going to hear from Tracy. Sorry about that. We will continue our discussion there. 800-989-8255 is the number to call. I suppose one issue that you can raise here is the issue simply of public attitudes, of whether people are willing to talk openly about this disease. It seems that Uganda is one place where people are. What about other parts of Africa? Are Africans willing to confront the problems of this disease in an open way and the way that their behavior can affect this disease in an open way?
My observation is that things are dramatically changing in the last 2 years. I've traveled last year to 4 African countries, Mozambique, Nigeria, Kenya, and South Africa, and it's a new environment. Everyone knows that the crisis is still getting worse in most countries, and as the death rates go up, people start talking about it more, and people want to do something about it, especially young people. They want to be part of the African Renaissance. They want to stop poverty. They want to be part of the global community. And the United States has an opportunity to lead the world in the African Renaissance. President Bush has made the first steps with this AIDS program.
Okay. Sophia Mukasa Monaco, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for inviting the Global Health Council.
Okay. And we will continue our discussion after the break here. One big question, of course, is whether this is going to be passed by Congress. And we will talk to Jim Colby, a key member of Congress, on this issue. And we'll continue to take your calls at 800-989-8255. I'm Steve Inskeep. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington. Right now, we continue our conversation about President Bush's announcement of a new plan to fight AIDS in Africa and the Caribbean. And as always, you can join our conversation. All you have to do is pick up a telephone. Call us at 800-989-TALK. Our email address is tot@npr.org. Our guest still in the studio here, Dr. Paul Zeitz, Executive Director of the Global AIDS Alliance. And joining us now on the phone from Tucson, Arizona, is Republican Congressman Jim Colby of Arizona. Congressman, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
I suppose you were in the audience the other night for the president's speech.
I was. I listened to it.
Were you surprised?
Well, I had been called by the White House shortly before, since I'm chairman of the Foreign Operations Subcommittee, which will be responsible for providing the funding for this, so I did know about it. But I thought it was a pretty dramatic proposal on the part of the president.
Now, why only $1 billion for this thing called the Global Fund, the Global AIDS Fund that's already been set up by the United Nations to pay for things like treatment and prevention of AIDS?
Well, I just heard the comments that were made. I think they're valid comments about we have something that's working there. But there are questions, I think, about the Global AIDS Fund. I just spent a few days in Geneva this last week and with the Global Fund, and I was down in Haiti earlier this month. And one of the things that concerns me is the whole idea of the Global AIDS Fund is that we're going to deliver health care in a way that's been different, not through the traditional bureaucratic international organizations that we've had before. We need something that's more nimble, quicker, can respond. And I think the Global Fund is showing some of that, but there are some questions, I think. And one of them is the fact that 100% of the coordinating councils, the CCMs as they're called in each of the country, have government officials running them, and 75% of the principal beneficiaries are government agencies. And while that's not necessarily bad, I think it's a cautionary question that I think needs to be looked at. So the president is proposing a pretty large increase, though, in the funding for the Global Fund. And there's nothing that says that if it works and we're convinced that it's working the right way, we can't shift funds in that direction as the years go by.
Congressman, stay with us for a moment, if you would,
sure.
Please. We got a call from Reese in Tempe, Arizona. Reese, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
You have a question?
Yeah. Last night here on our local NPR station, KJZZ, Republican Congressman Jeff Flake was interviewed and said that he thought this was a nice-sounding thing that presidents like to put in these addresses, but he didn't know of many Republicans that would support it in view of the problems we have at home. I want to ask the congressman to be level with us, to be honest with us about the Republican Party's enthusiasm about this proposal. I think it's telling that he didn't even know about it until he heard it in the State of the Union address. It doesn't sound like it's been talked up too much in his own party.
Well, he said he got a little bit of a surprise call there. But in any event, Congressman Colby, I guess the question is it realistic that this is actually going to pass at this level of funding?
I think it is realistic. There is strong support for this among Republicans and Democrats. I didn't hear Jeff Flake's comments. Jeff's a good friend of mine. But I think he's just wrong on this. I think there is very strong support among Republicans about doing this. This is not only a moral imperative, but it also has national security implications. If we have a collapse of the institutions of government in Africa, we're simply going to be creating a breeding ground for a new terrorist activities. So there are strong national security reasons, but I think there's a moral imperative to do it as well. And I think the mood in Congress, you saw that change when you saw Senator Helms come out last year before he retired and endorsed the idea of increasing funding. It's a little unusual for Senator Helms to be talking about additional foreign assistance. There's strong support for this, I think, among Republicans and Democrats.
Paul Zeitz of the Global AIDS Alliance, earlier you were saying that that's the key question for you, whether the money gets passed. Do you doubt the sincerity of the Republican or Democratic leadership in Congress on this particular issue?
Well, I think the first test will be President Bush's budget request next week. We'll know what the truth is about his intention. If he's asking for the $3 billion or the startup of this initiative in the next year's budget, then we'll know. We heard about his mother-to-child prevention initiative earlier in the program. That was announced in June, and not $1 has been programmed for that yet. So really, it's the president's budget. I am sure that there is bipartisan support, like Congressman Colby has said, and I believe that it will pass. And I believe, though, also that we need to continue to build the pressure and the advocacy from around the country so that all members of Congress know that their constituents care about this issue, they want to see it funded. And we encourage people to go to our website, stopglobalaids.org, to learn about the issue as it's evolving over the course of the year.
It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Congressman Colby, you wanted to add something very briefly?
Well, I would agree with Dr. Zitz that creating public support for this is absolutely critical. I think the president's budget will reflect his support for this, and that we will see the funds included there. But there's going to have to be both an authorization, the first bill, or something along that lines. There'll need to be some changes in that. But we'll need to have that passed, and then we'll need to have the funding for it each year. But it is going to be a struggle, given the budget constraints that we have. But I think there's support for it.
Congressman, you got time to stay while we take one more question?
Sure.
From the audience. Frank has been holding patiently in Reno, Nevada. Frank, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Yeah, thank you. This is, I think, is a real important. I've spent time in Lusaka, Harare, the long way, Kampala, et cetera. And one of the things that the health care workers say to me is just the medicine isn't enough. They need the food and the water to be, you know, as well for the digestion and the whole thing. Because just giving the medicines, that isn't enough. It's too hard on the systems. They need the nutrition as well.
Paul Zeitz, you've spent a lot of time there. I mean, are people actually receiving drugs in some cases who are, I mean, they're starving to death at the same time that they're doing this?
Well, I agree with Frank that we need to look at this initiative comprehensively, and we need to ensure that people that are receiving these drugs have access to clean water and have good food and nutrition. There is a lot of challenges to do this, but there also is a lot of capacity and a lot of infrastructure, as Frank may know, to deliver these drugs through the health system that's there, through churches and other non-governmental organizations, and also through the private sector. There's a huge moral imperative. We have to act now, and we have to use existing infrastructure and build new infrastructure to be able to expand access to these drugs and other things.
Congressman Colby, I'm sure it's difficult for someone in your situation to take care of or try to deal with every problem in Africa at once, but is there a combination of problems here, really?
Well, there are. It is a combination of problems. It's absolutely correct. It has to be looked at in a comprehensive and a holistic fashion. And one of the things I think I've learned in the time that I've been in this job and traveling in places in Africa is that it isn't just money. It has a lot to do with leadership. Dr. Zeitz talked about what he thinks is the changes taking place, and I agree. I think there's some very positive things. We've seen some terrific programs in places like Uganda and Senegal, which have been tremendously successful. But unfortunately, in some countries like Zimbabwe, you continue to have total denial by the government there. And even in South Africa, a very advanced and enlightened country, unfortunately, we don't have the kind of leadership from the president there that we really need for the programs. So it's a matter of leadership as well, and you also have to deal with these other issues. So economic and development assistance goes along with the health care needs.
Congressman, just a few seconds left in this segment of the program, but I'd like to ask where this money is going to come from, given that the government is running a deficit now. I mean, is that $15 billion easily available, or will something else have to be reduced?
Well, it's not going to be easily available, but I believe that this is something the president has made a moral commitment to, and I think the Congress will as well. It will come just as all the other pieces of the budget come from our revenues as well as from some borrowing. But we need to, looking domestically, we need to turn the economy around, get the economy growing again so that we can have the tax revenues to put us back in the black.
And how soon, Congressman, will your subcommittee be taking up this issue?
Well, as soon as we get the president's, first of all, we've got to get the 2003 budget finished. We're still 4 months behind on that, and the Senate's passed it, but we have to go to conference now and work out those differences. We expect the president's budget for 2004 to be up on the Hill, I think, in another about 8-10 days. And at that point, we'll begin hearings on it, though there will also be a supplemental to deal probably with the war in Iraq. But we'll have hearings on this, and we have a commitment to get our bills out of the House before the break at 4th of July, before the end of June.
Full plate. Okay, Congressman Jim Colby.
You're right about that.
Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
And we also need to say goodbye to our other guest. Dr. Paul Zeitz is Executive Director of the Global AIDS Alliance. He's here in Studio 3A, and thanks very much for taking the time.
Thanks a lot.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.